Hello friends, I'm back to this chapter number 7 I'm taking right now under the topic on performance management systems and rewards. So here I'm going to be covering the international performance and rewards management, an overview. Okay, so just as we have PMS happening in India and many countries individually, now we are all global. Since we're in global business, we need to understand how the international practices are, right? Now, broadly, I can tell you one thing, the framework remains the same. The PMS has got the same philosophy throughout the world, but from country to country, it will be having little bit of changes in terms of their approaches and the way they run the process. That's the only difference, okay? So, what are we going to be having in store? The learning objectives, gain a broader perspective of the international performance management. Understand the methods and approach adopted for evaluation of performance of employees spanning multiple generations. Understand the methods and approach adopted for evaluation of performance of employees spanning multiple generations. That means the performance management, we should understand, is something which is topical and relevant to a certain point of time in history. As the times change, you'll be finding that you'll have to modify the performance management system. So what might have been a PMS in a certain company, say 40 years back or 50 years back, may have to have been modified today. So the number of generations that it goes through, one generation is 30 years, three decades make one generation, and the generation keeps moving, every moving 30 we call it, right? So that is what we are going to be doing, understanding the methods and approach adopted for evaluation of performance of employees spanning multiple generations. Gain an insight into the checklist of best practices for multi-generation recognition and reward programs. Gain a perspective on best practices adopted internationally for recognition and rewards program. The structure and the contents of the book is as follows. Overview of international performance management. Characteristics, needs and preferences of multiple generations. Defining and applying psychographics. Categorization of employees for defining the reward systems. Best practices in recognition and reward program. Programs for multiple generations. Okay. And here we are. Further taking down checklist of best practices in multi-generational recognition rewards program, performance management framework, recommendations of Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, the global organization which has come together for the purpose of business facilitation among its member nations, right? Let's go to the very first one, outcomes of multi-generalization, generational recognition and reward strategy. Now, let's try and understand this. A multi-generational recognition and reward strategy is covering, as I told you in one of the earlier chapters, four levels: the individual, the division, the department, the division, and also the company itself. So it benefits. Now, when it is person-centric, how does it benefit the person? It improved workplace experience he goes through. He needs better fulfilled through targeted approach. He feels better fulfilled through target approach. It increases the loyalty of the customer towards his work, if not the company. Stronger team cohesion. The team come together much more strongly. Cohesive it happens. Improved relationship with the superior. As far as when you look at it from the person's point of view, person-centric. From the business point of view, if you look at it, increase in sales, profitability, productivity, cost-saving, improved customer service, increase in quality, decreased turnover, and improved business image. It's easy to understand, no need to repeat it, right? Similarities of a multi-generational employees. Similarities is core values, desire for flexibility, desire for supportive work environment, commitment to organization, need for career development, and need for recognition. This is true in both the cases, individual as well as the organization. Now, what's the differences? Recognition preferences may be different in both the cases. One may be wanting recognition for self and for abilities and other things. The other one will be looking for some other qualities. Then, communication style is different. Work balance needs will be different. Learning style, perspective on leadership, authority and work ethics, desired rewards, need to maintain loyalty to a specific employer, and perspectives on how and when to socialize during and outside the work. Now, what is given in the difference is the right-hand side, on the left-hand side of the chart, is the differences that may occur when you are into a multi-generational type of a working environment. So there is a company which you have to take into account, and you take yourself also into account. Both these things may be into a certain type of a misunderstanding. It might happen. It might not always. If the culture is strong, it will not happen, right? Here we are discussing rewards and recognition preferences. There are four columns. Each column is depicting the preferences of rewards for that particular generation. So we have the World War II, the post-World War II generation, the baby boomers, the Generation X, Gen X, and the Gen Y. So the post-World War II generation, they believed in having plaques, certificates, flexible working hours, temporary work, hourly shifts if close to retirement. The baby boomers, next generation, were the people who appreciated personal appreciation. They loved promotions, they loved recognition, and they loved help with retirement plans and also training in technology. This particular generation was in the borderline when technology had just started and it was about to become a technology boom. Then came the Gen X, free time opportunities for development, upgraded resources they would like to have, certificates to add to the resume, more qualifications, more certificates, skill development, flexible work schedules, and fun activities. Now the fun activity has been introduced only here. Before that, all work was only work and it was serious. But fun activity means they wanted a little more lighthearted way of working. The reason is because this is a technology-driven generation wherein the pressures of work are much higher. It's more of brain work, less of muscle work. Gen Y, awards and certificates, immediate, concrete, and sensible award. They would like to have immediate gratification. This is a broad picture given by the author. There are some more. We can go up to the text and read it, right? Now, when I want to reward people, I must put them into certain categories. What is it that a reward is a reward for you, provided it is of value to you, correct? Now, you are having a lot of money with you, lots of money, you're a millionaire. So, giving you a monetary reward is not of any value to you. You may want a recognition in the form of a pat in the back or a public recognition that you're a multimillionaire, right? So, depending upon the type of nature of a person, category that is given first column, rewards are different for different people. So you must recognize which category the employee falls in. A protector, achiever, freestyler, networker, traditionalist, and realist. These are the different types of roles some people play naturally. A protector needs a structure and predictability of rewards program functional and equitable. A protector is a person who believes in working in a structure, and he is a person who protects a system, protects himself, protects the entire system under a structure. He is a rule-oriented, regulation-oriented person. So he would feel rewarded. He needs a structure and predictability of rewards program, functional and equitable. So when you put a rewards program, it should be properly understood by him through a particular type of a rule-structured format. Only then he'll understand it. Achievers, the way recognition and rewards presented as important as a reward behavior, rewards redeemed quickly, very high value and uniquely tailored to the group. These people are achievers, and they say that reward my achievement. And they would take the achievement and go further and further to have achievement. They burn out very fast. They use the rewards very fast. Freestylers should have variety of choices, recognition varied with authenticity. Freestylers are the ones who operate individually with their own individuality, with their own creativity. And they would like to be rewarded in different forms creatively. Networkers are the ones who must meet needs of entire group. Facilitate quality of relations and exchanges, group rewards, element of entertainment, etc., wellness day, etc. These networkers are the people who are constantly in touch with people for something or the other. And they believe in these type of recognitions. Then we have the traditionalists, the people who believe in certain ancient traditions or some ways of doing things in a certain manner. Since they were doing in the past, I must also do it this way, and so on. Recognition reward strategy should support the company's image and reputation, reward for effort expected. A very traditional company, which is also into the IT business, they have other business also. Now, they are very traditional in the way recognition has to be done. Now, the employees are quite young, and they wanted a recognition in the form of some dance, some flash dance or something. And they tried it out, and the top management did not like it. They said, no, stop it. This is not our company. Just to give an example. So, they believe that we can have a recognition type of event, but in the traditional way in which the company's logo, company's everything is passed down, it should be seen in the way the entertainment is going on. Okay. Realists are the people who recognize as impactful. They make sense of environment and of individual well-being. These people are too realistic and they want everything on a realism basis. So depending upon where you're focusing, your recognition will be taken up by you, right? Use of 360 degree performance appraisal. This is a very common tool. Most of you know about it. The next few slides are about 360 degree. I'll just run through it. Okay. What are we doing in a 360? Let me explain briefly. The 360 degree appraisal, as the name indicates, 360 degree around me, which means I have my senior above, I've got my junior below, my peer around me, and I've got my suppliers, my other outside stakeholders outside, right? Now, all these people I'm interacting with, so they will be giving a feedback about my, how I do my job. That is what is 360 degree feedback in short. I may have outsiders in some cases. I may have subordinate in some cases, but it's all encompassing. It's not one person who gives you feedback. Around 360 degrees, all the necessary stakeholders will give a feedback about you, right? So employee development takes place because of this employee development, because there's an overall view about you. Not only one-sided view, only about sales or only about office interaction, but also with customers and also with seniors and peers, etc. So your entire, the complete self, the complete you is mapped. Performance appraisal becomes easier. Performance management, we use 360 degree for the following purposes. Employee development, performance appraisal, performance management, training need assessment, evaluation of training, attitude survey, customer satisfaction survey. There are various, so whenever I want to have an overall view about something, to do something, I go for a 360 degree. That's an easy way to understand, right? What are the key steps in conducting 360 degree PA? Develop questionnaire, ensure confidentiality of participants, provide training and orientation, administer the feedback questionnaires, analyze the data, which is logical steps. The most important point is the second point. I want to know more about Bhavesh. To know more about Bhavesh, what will I do? I will not go and talk about it to everybody concerned. I will only give it to those people with whom Bhavesh is in touch. So Bhavesh may be in touch with X, Y, and Z. So those people will be given this form about Bhavesh's way of working. And they will say, as far as I'm concerned, he does this work for me. He's very good. His attitude is so-and-so. His performance is so-and-so. I'll give to Y, then they'll say about Bhavesh. It all remains within us. So when I give a feedback to Bhavesh about 360, I may or may not mention the names of people whom I refer to. But overall, all of these feedback put together, I'll put it in a concise form and tell him, look, this is what you are, Bhavesh. So in a 360 degree, the confidentiality is very important. You can't just go around blabbering to everybody. No, you have to very, very, in fact, appraisal has to be confidential. And more importantly, there are times when you have to be confidential with the people from whom you're taking feedback. You say so-and-so employee, so-and-so is coming to say, and then they give you feedback about that person in a very one-on-one basis so that nobody else knows it, right? You have to develop and distribute the results, identify and define the key competencies for the organization, success, select the person to be evaluated by peers, customers, subordinates, managers, etc., and provide feedback and create action plans. This is just a repetition of what is given in the HR book. I'm not dwelling much on it, okay? What sort of a use and application of 360 degree performance appraisal? This is again simple logic. I'll run through it. Set clear specific goals. Establish measurements to determine outcomes and results. Evaluate the degree to which the outcome and the results were achieved. Determine based on performance what reward is to be given. Identify the skills, competencies, behaviors and practices needed to successfully achieve performance criteria. All this is given to different people with whom you're dealing. And with A, I may be dealing only a type of job which is X. With B, I may be dealing with a job which is Y. So with that person, I'll give an appraisal form in which Y is being assessed. With the other person, I'll give a form in which X is being assessed. So you must know what form to give to whom and accordingly design the questionnaire. Right? Measure proficiencies in skills, how good, competent you are in the skills, competencies, behaviors and practices. Assess whether improvement is needed to achieve performance criteria. Create targeted development plans that increase capabilities and performance. Assess what environment will bring out the best result from the employees. So out of these things, the 360 degree will tell me that this person could perform better under this type of a circumstance or environment. So it gives me an overall mapping about the person, right? This appears to be a little more realistic and very fair-minded as far as the employee is concerned, 360 degree. But it is quite cumbersome in terms of paperwork, in terms of time. But if it's done, it's really good at least you can map the employee from a 360 degree angle. It's very important, right? Merit and demerit of 360 degree feedback. This is again a repeat from HR books. Merit, provide a well-rounded view, avoids individual bias, can have more impact than a single source, can establish consensus. This is a merit, plus point. Negative is what? It responses from colleagues and external customers may be biased or simply the result of trade-offs. It's possible that it's a type of a trade-off. Matlab, it's something to do with, okay, you just give it to me because I'm a nice guy to you. So there may be a certain personal bias happening when it gives to certain people. Okay. It ignores performance in terms of achieving goals. The rate may deny the truth of negative feedback. Now, these are possibilities that can happen. But overall, if you look at it, the more the number of people with whom I'm doing a 360 degree, the less the chances of this negative to happen. Okay. Rethinking performance management can help drive business success. Define reward and align contributions. Enables employees to understand their performance rewards because they have a clear knowledge of what the organization is aiming to achieve and how their work affects it. It ensures performance targets are effective in terms of both employee and business growth. So the performance management thing has to be rethought. It should be thought in a broader perspective that helps the employee himself to look at his job in a broader perspective, right? Support continuous feedback. The continuous feedback system is far more likely to create engaged employees, which feels right in the business success. Engage in future-focused development. Technological advancement is changing how we get work done and allowing organizations to deconstruct and disperse work across the world. Okay. Now, that brings us to the best practices in recognition and reward program for multiple generations. Okay. Integrate into overall business strategy. As the time flows, as a company becomes older and older, the company was formed 100 years back. So in the 100 years, it's become older and older. Now you must learn to integrate all the business strategies together. Make them all come together and arrive at something common. Set goals and measure outcomes. For example, increase collaboration and knowledge sharing among certain generational groups and improve engagement among other groups. Now when we say generational group, we're talking about people who have been in the company for a long period of time. They understand the company and the way it has grown, and they also know the pulse of the company. These are the generational groups. The other ones are the newcomers who are not the generational groups. They are only looking at the smaller picture. So how these two people are interacting, that's a very important thing to set goals and measure according to that, right? So increase collaboration and knowledge sharing among the certain generational groups and improve engagement among other groups. Get employee input, what they value and their reward performance. Be inclusive. Drive organization culture effectively top-down, right? Be flexible, reconciling diverse needs and desire of employees of different generations. Okay, different generations have got different ways of operating. A 60-year-old man as compared to a 40-year-old man, as compared to a 25-year-old man, all the three of them working in the same companies, they've got different drives and different needs. So we must learn to be flexible with each other's needs so that in the long run, they are able to work towards the company's goals. Each one has got something to contribute. A youngster has got a lot of energy, new ideas. A middle-aged person has got some experience behind him and he also looks up to go higher. A person who's above that person, top management, he's got everything with him, but he needs people to do. So everybody is synergizing with each other. That's how one has to look at it. In most cases, they look at each other as a threat. It's not a threat, it's more of a synergizing. Leverage technology to deliver timely and targeted recognition. Also enable management oversight and real-time monitoring. Leverage technology means use technology and to a gainful experience. Evaluate and improve to determine value on investment and opportunities for continual improvement. Now, this is the PM Performance Management Framework recommendations of the Organization Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD. So there are some key aspects they have enumerated. Properties of output and outcome, then they say as per the document given by the OECD or created by them, clearly identified and contribute to achievement of planned outcomes, should generate information which helps for performance comparison over time or with others, and achievable within a specified time frame. Now these are their definitions about how the outcome should be. OECD is a large body, voluntary body, consisting of a number of nations who are their members, and they are there to develop businesses among the members who are there. So they have set some norms about how the PM has to happen. Second thing is reporting performance information. Be open, be selective, be focused, be proactive, be pragmatic, be reasonable. In short, enable people rather than restrict them, right? Taking it further, alignment with business strategy. How should the PM align with business strategy? They should cover strategic goals with organization's main function operations, identification of external factors impacting goal attainment beyond control, program evaluation, description and revised goals. All these are already covered in other chapters. It's just it's being put in a framework by this organization, right? Operating plan. Output goals expressed as quantifiable and measurable manner. Underline the word quantifiable. Every output goal should be in the form of a quantifiable manner. Relation of operating objectives to general goals of strategic plan. Indicators to assess value of relevant products, level of service and result of program activity. Right? Now with this, we end this very tiny chapter on how these practices are being formed. I would like to conclude by saying that the PMS practices around the world are more or less common. Now, this is just giving a small snapshot about how it operates. But overall, if you want to know about the PMS practices in other countries and other countries, the organizations which are located in those countries as headquarters, we have to go a little closer and study them. All in all, the whole world, depending upon the types of political system, whether it is democratic or whether it is, socialistic or something, they have a fair and square system wherein the employee is given a certain type of a advantage in terms of working for an organization. Very good progressive countries do that. Okay. So with this, I end this session. Thank you very much.